This coming Shabbos, we're going to have the honor and privilege of reading Parshas Vayakhel as well as Parshas Shkalim, because Misha Nechnas Adar Marbim B'Simcha. And of course, Parshas Vayakhel begins by Akel Moshe's Kol Hadas B'nei Yisrael. Moshe gathers the people together, and Rashi knows this happens the day after Yom Kippur, the day came down from the mountain. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin, on Daf Chaf Amid Beis, notes that there were three mitzvahs that the people were commanded when they came into the land. There was a mitzvah Lahamid Lamelech, there was a mitzvah to destroy Amalek, and then there was a mitzvah to build a base of Bechira. So why do they start building it now in the middle of the desert? So Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zecher Tzadik L'Racha, answered that when the Eagle episode happened, it became apparent that the people would not last without a shepherd, and the Mishkan was supposed to be that source, and so it was pushed up, and so that was the intention that God had in the process. We're also told that as far after their command for Shabbos was given, and many of the halachos of Shabbos are derived from the very beginning of Parshas Vayakhel, we're also told that they went back to the building of the Mishkan, and Vayavoa Nashim Ala Nashim. The men came with the women, and Klayakar notes that the women didn't bring their jewelry on their own because they didn't want to make it seem that they too were complicit with the ego. Moshe Feinstein's Zatzal added that their initial reluctance demonstrated that they were interested in contributing, just not unloading. They wanted their donations to demonstrate their sincerity. They wanted to show that they were sincere about what they were giving and that it wasn't an easy process, so that this way they knew it was a meaningful process. We're also told that V'cholisha Chachma Slev B'yada Tavu, the women who had Chachma Slev, they uplifted them, and they went ahead, and they were tabu ba'izim. Now, what was the chachma slave? What was the special wisdom? So, according to Gemara and Shabbos, the wool was washed and spun while still being able to be attached to the goats. So, Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Kok Zatzal explained that when we were talking about the Urios, when we're talking about the different curtains. So we explain that the two coverings of the Mishkan relate to two different spheres of wisdom in the world. The first level of wisdom is abstract and general. The second is practical and detailed. The abstract wisdom shines with brilliant flashes of the intellect and different hues of the imagination. This wisdom deals with inner sublime matters and therefore corresponds to the colorful inner covering. Practical wisdom, on the other hand, would appear to be a much simpler matter, serving primarily to protect and watch over the abstract concepts of the inner wisdom. But in truth, practical wisdom of how to apply abstract principles in everyday life is quite profound and it's quite rare. Spiritual abstractions may be revealed through prophecy and divine inspiration, but the practical Torah of mitzvos can only be revealed through the unique clarity of Moshe's prophetic vision. So these women were blessed with the gift of the highest wisdom. By virtue of its profound insight, their hearts were uplifted, and thus elevating all feelings and emotions, all actions and deeds, all aspects of life. Their wisdom was so great that they spun on the goats. They were able to elevate the material world, even life's vexing aspects, as symbolized by the mischievous goat, and they were able to bind it and tie it to the loftier eternal light. That's quite a power, and that, says Rav Kook, is something that was very unique to the women in this situation. And the Nesi'im Hevi'u, were also told that after this is talked about, the Nesi'im brought the Avnei Shom and the Avnei Miluim. They were able to bring the special jewels. Now the commentaries point out that the Nesi'im failed to be among the primary donors to the Mishkan, preferring to allow others to come first, and as a result they really didn't get to donate much. However, they were able to contribute the stones for the Ephod and the Choshen. If the Jewish people contributed so much more, why did Hashem make sure that these items weren't going to be contributed by others as well? So Reb Nissen Alpert Zatzal explained that there's an implicit message over here. And what is that implicit message? The Nesi'im are not to lord powers over the people. Their job is to be the building block, the yesod, the bedrock, and the foundation upon which we'll be able to carry the people. By giving them the chance to bring the Avnei Yisod, they'll be the stones that B'nai Yisrael are supposed to establish their names, and that's how they're supposed to be able to proceed. We're also told, Ru'uka Rasha B'Shem B'Tzal Ben Uri Ben Chur L'mata Yehuda. Behold, Hashem called B'Tzal Uri Ben Chur. Rashi comments that Chur was the son of Miriam. Now, why does Rashi wait until now to tell us this? And why is it so important? And why do we note that the word Ru'u in the plural after last week, when Hashem made the same command, he says, Re'ei, He says it in the singular. So the late great Mir Rosh Yeshiva of Mir Brooklyn, Reb Shmuel Barenbaum, Zatzal explained that initially Moshe understood the building of the Mishkan was going to require a person who had unique strengths and spiritual abilities. He thought it was going to be he, Moshe, who would be worthy of the project. But Hashem told him no, it was going to be Bezalel's job. Now Moshe accepted the idea, but the people might not. So therefore Hashem told them, Re'u, see that this was not nepotism or something worse, but rather it was Bezalel who was the right man for the job, and is the descendant of Hur, the son of Miriam, who was selected to atone with the Mishkan for the death of Hur and the Ego. Okay. We're also told, the melacha was enough, and it was more than enough. Now, either it's enough, or it's more than enough, but how can it be both? So the famed Lublina Rav, Meir Shapiro Zatzal, explained that while people might have given enough, their inspiration and desire to give was for much, much more. We're told by Yas Bezalel that Bezalel made the Aron, and Rav Shechter Shlita noted that the Kelim of the Mishkan and the Mikdash have significance even if they couldn't be utilized functionally. If that is the case, then why was there no Aron in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash? So Rav Shechter quoted Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, who noted that this demonstrated that the Aron was not a part of the Klei HaMikdash, but rather existed to bring kavod to the Sefer Torah alone. Rav Soloveitchik himself, Rav Yosef Dova Levi Soloveitchik, added that the same is true for yeshiva. We can't just build a structure if the people don't learn in it. The whole point of the structure, the Aron that is the yeshiva, is supposed to be there to be built if the people don't, if the people learn in it. If the people don't learn it, you can't build it. Finally, this week we're going to read the special Haftorah for Parsha Shkalim. And within it we're told, Rakabamos lo saru, the bamos were not removed. And this sin permeates Nevi'im. So why is it that the bamos, Naaman removal, was such a hard thing to overcome? Why could they never get rid of the bamos? So Rav David Feinstein Zatzal explained that the bamos referred to the private mizbachos, which became forbidden when the Beis HaMikdash was built. It should have been forbidden in favor of encouraging people to come to Yerushalayim with the Karanos, as the Torah instructs. However, Yehoash and Yehoyada were afraid that the people would refuse to accept that prohibition, and they would rebel, as the other ten Shvatim did years earlier. And so they didn't enforce the issue. The Bamos, though, that wasn't the right answer. It was the wrong thing, and therefore we see that it leads to such neglect to the central mission of the Jewish people. And in modern times, that issue can't be underscored enough. We are living in a time where people have gotten used to doing whatever they can on the side. Rakabamos lo saru. That's a challenge to us. Our job is to overcome the bamos. And our job is to make sure that when we get involved, we go to Hashem's place, to daven, to make sure that we grow within the process. I wish everyone a Shabbat Shalom to all.